Paul Horning is with us, and we're talking about his career and also about his life and also about his new book called Golden Boy. The Packers went on to win the championship, as Paul told us in the last segment, and the first of five over a seven-year period. And the only year they lost was 1963, when Horning was suspended for gambling. And in the book, Paul, you talk about this chapter in your life. You openly admit that you'd been a gambler for most of your life, saying, "I grew up with gambling. I can remember guys shooting craps on the street corners in my neighborhood of Portland in Louisville. And, of course, I had begun sneaking into the racetrack at an early age."
Yes, sir. We have Churchill Downs, of course, here in Louisville, the Kentucky Derby. And I was kind of big for my age, so to get some extra money when I was 13, 14 years old, I worked as an usher for the Andy Frain Ushering Service. So, you know, going out to the Derby on Derby Day, we'd make $40. $40 was, that's like a week's work, you know, back in those days. That was a hell of a lot of money. And of course, when you work at a racetrack, you know, you're going to bet $1 or $2 on the races. And I learned that at a very early age. Ron Kramer says, you know, Louisville's a real action town. You're either a bookmaker, or you want to be a bookmaker, or you bet. Everybody in the world falls into those three categories. Well, he's exaggerating a little bit. Ron has been to every Kentucky Derby with me except the one in 63, where Lombardi said, you know, when I was suspended, he said, "You're going to stay away from gambling. You'll stay away from the racetrack. I don't want to hear you going to Vegas. I want you to stay at the foot of the cross so we can get you back into the league." And he did.
And it was a different time back there then, because you talk about it in the book that a lot of people bet. People in the National Football League, Bobby Lane, the former quarterback with the Lions, and the Pittsburgh Steelers as well, used to bet. And you talk about others.
Let me tell you what happened. We started kiddingly to talk about when I was doing this book. Dick Schaff said, "Why don't we call it Run for Cover?" And I said, you know, hell, I'm almost 70 years old. There's no use going back and start blaming people and naming names that I knew who possibly bet on, you know, pro football. I don't care if they did. The only thing you have to worry about when you're going through something like that is what your situation is, you know. So Pete Rozelle did a magnificent job, you know, during that time to keep us out of Washington as far as a Senate committee hearing or something like that. It could have gotten maybe a little bit uglier than it was. So what I wanted to talk about was Paul Horning. I didn't want to talk about any other players, you know, that I knew or I suspected. You know, back then they had those football cards. Everybody would play those goofy football cards. Nobody'd win, you know, it was insurmountable. Odds guys would bet $1 to try to win two, three hundred to one, that kind of thing. But that's part of gambling, you know. So when I was suspended, with the word indefinitely. And that's a little heavy word to start to understand, you know, that maybe you'll never have another chance to play, you know, professional football. Well, Lombardi took care of that, thank heavens.
You say the biggest bet I ever made in those days was $800, and I always bet on us to win. What's the difference between Paul Horning betting on his team to win in football and Pete Rose betting on his team in baseball?
Nothing. Not a thing. The only trouble with Pete is, you know, I had Pete on my TV show here in Louisville 9 straight years. I consider myself a friend of Pete. I'd love to see him in the Hall of Fame. I think he, you know, his actions, I don't think we have to worry about. On the field, he's completely deserves it. But, you know, Pete wasn't honest with him. And I always told Pete, I said, "Pete, I think it would have been a lot better if you would have stood up to be counted early on and say, 'Yes, I did gamble, but I'm sorry.'" But he kept saying, "No, I didn't gamble. I didn't, you know, I didn't say this." And now he has to come out and say that he was lying all those years. So, you know, that's heavy. And I really don't know. I haven't seen that ESPN story, you know, yet. I will definitely do it because I know they're going to play it again and again. So I want to see it again. But I don't think it was too flattering.
Yeah, it was not. I have seen it. And I will tell you the thing that I'm struck with, because I was very aware of the evidence And I had Faye Vincent, by the way, on this program a number of times talking about it. And he talked about the integrity of the game being challenged. And, of course, it was a different time when you bet on baseball than when Pete was betting on baseball. And the integrity of the game, whether it be football and baseball, as you know, Paul, is the essence of the sport. But I will tell you, your honesty and forwardness when Pete Rozelle asked you if you had bet on games compared to Pete's lying about it and continuing to do so, when you look at this film, it's very obvious to anybody that looks at it that Pete, you know, has a problem. And he just simply would not admit it to himself, and he took a lot of people, and he used a lot of people as well.
Yeah, and also baseball has it printed on every
right
wall, in every a venue where they play the game, that if you bet on baseball, you will be suspended for life. I mean, it's written in black and white. And, you know, in no place did football have a sentence like that. You know, that was public. Nowadays, I'm sure that there's some kind of rule that was initiated because of the 60s. That says, you know, you cannot gamble on the sport.
The owners also were people that were men of very rich, and gambling is a, you know, king's habit almost in a sense. And you talk about in the book your suspicions about the 1979 disappearance of Carol Rosenblum involving Rosenblum's gambling habits. Just briefly, so I can move on to something else, what are those suspicions? What backs them for you?
Well, you know, there was a big rumor around. Nobody knew for a fact. But, you know, that he had bet on the championship game when they went off tackle and scored a touchdown instead of kicking a field goal to win in sudden death, which was one of the most important games that's ever been played in the National Football League, the Colts and Giants. But back then, in the 50s, you didn't go for the field goal in sudden death until fourth down. Now, of course, they kick it on third down in case there's a bad snap from center. You can do it again on fourth down. But back then, you would run your offense until it was field goal time. And, you know, it looked a little suspicious because what had happened and what was the talk, the spread was 3.5 and 4 points, and if Baltimore would have kicked the field goal, they would have lost the number, and Carol Rosenblum was rumored to have bet a lot of money on the game, you know. And whether he did or not, I don't know. But I do know it did look, you know, they won by 6 points and beat the spread. So naturally, when something like that happens, they're gonna look at it very suspiciously.
Let me switch gears on you and talk about the fact that you were a part of the Notre Dame broadcasting crew for many, many, many years, and it all came to an end after your comments on Notre Dame football. And your exact full quote, by the way, is, as far as Notre Dame is concerned, we're going to have to ease it up a little bit. We can't stay as strict as we are as far as academic structure is concerned, because we've got to get the black athlete. We must get the black athlete to compete. We open with Michigan, then go to Michigan State and Purdue. Those are the first three games, you know, and you can't play a schedule like this unless you have the black athlete today. That's the...
I should have said black and white top athletes. I was trying to explain that we are on a different recruiting level at the university. I mean, it's the toughest spot to get into, probably in all of college football. And I just think that's held us back a little bit. You know, back when we eased it up a little bit, like I was talking about, is when Tony Rice was there and Chris Zorich and that group, and they happened to win a national championship. And also the kids that were let in that didn't have the kind of a grades that they're looking for today, they graduated in 4 years. They did their, you know, due diligence and graduated and made everybody proud. I just have seen too many. Last year, Miami had 7 number one draft choices. You know, we haven't had a number one draft choice in a long time. And we do. We have plenty of black athletes at Notre Dame. But I was talking about the real top black athletes. That's what I should have explained,
Paul,
a lot better. You would think I would do a little bit better. I've only been interviewed about 20 million times.
Paul, why do you think people thought that was a racist comment? If you look at the total.
Now, if they thought that was a racist comment, I didn't mean it as a racist comment, and I think everybody who stood up for me who was an African American, understood that.
Right.
And I wasn't trying to do it. That was just the press taking a shot, you know, that's all.
Do you also believe, you know, are you hurt by the fact that Notre Dame didn't stand by somebody who was a Heisman Trophy winner at the school and had been associated with that program and who has given money to Notre Dame for so many years?
Well, I was very disappointed. I apologize. What else could I do but profusely apologize in that situation? I misspoke. But there were some people in Notre Dame. I told Kevin White, who's the athletic director, I said, I'm not going to let Notre Dame blame this on Westwood One. I had worked for Westwood One. I'd done Monday Night Football on the radio with them last year. We were negotiating for this year with Ford Motor Company, and Ford was going to sponsor me on Notre Dame football, and they don't sponsor Notre Dame football anymore. They came out of the program when I was suspended. And so it was just a bad situation. I didn't want it, you know, to move in this direction, but I wanted them to be sure. I got a few letters that read like some attorney was trying to write the letter for heaven's sakes, as if maybe possibly they were thinking that I may sue them. For heaven's sakes, I would never do anything like that. You know, I'd been a supporter of university. I sold my Heisman Trophy for $250,000. I gave the money to Notre Dame to start scholarships there. I've got five kids there that we assist with tuition from the Louisville, Kentucky area here, and two of which I think are African American. So, you know, as far as the whole situation, I just soon drop it, let it go. And so I figured I'd write about it in the book. And a friend of mine said, Horning, you lucky SOB. He said, you planned that whole situation in Detroit so you could hawk your book. I know you.
We only got 45 seconds left, Paul. But when you think back about your life and your career as well, what do you think of? What are your personal moments about that? About 45 seconds.
Well, I'm going to tell you something. I couldn't have had a better time in my lifetime. I played until I was 32 years old, played 10 years in professional football, and traveled the country as probably a star and a celebrity, and enjoyed the good life, pro football, and the University of Notre Dame, the times there. I couldn't ask for to be in two better spots in my lifetime, and I still love every moment of it.
Paul, I want to thank you very much. I appreciate your time. You are welcome here anytime on Sports Byline. Take care, Paul.
Thank you very much.
Heisman Trophy winner, also a Hall of Famer, not only in the NFL, but high school and college Hall of Fames as well. Paul Horning, and the name of his book is called Golden Boy. We'll take a break as we continue across the country and around the world with you on America's sports talk show, Sports Byline.